Let's begin our study, our second study of John's Gospel, looking at John chapter 1, verses 3 through 12 this morning. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men might through him believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let's bow before God. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for our great salvation, that the light shone in the darkness, that Christ came into the world, and that we have in him a Savior, a Lord, one who can guide and direct and strengthen and lead us in the paths of righteousness. We claim the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit now, that we might understand your word and be strengthened by it. In his name we pray. Amen. Verse 3, all things were made by means of him. Literally from the Greek, it's dia plus the genitive in the Greek. It means all things by means of him became. The Lord Jesus Christ was the agent of creation. He was the creator. He was the member of the Godhead who did the creating. And by way of emphasis, the alternative is put in the negative. And this is a very Hebrew way of thinking. While it's written in the Greek, it's John as a Hebrew thinking, without him not one thing came into being, is literally how it's said. Without him not one thing came into being. So every created thing, every creature is under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ as creator. So as creator he is the ruler of the universe. He is the Lord of lords. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we have the same point made. He made the worlds. He made the ages. So you see, while Satan is referred to as the prince of this world, he's the usurping prince. He's the prince who has taken power to himself because of man's sin. But the Lord is, and always will be, the King of Kings. Satan's just the temporary prince of this world. He gained it through sin. He will lose it through judgment. And finally, all knees will bow before Christ, because he is the creator. But then also, through the cross, he has battlefield, if we like, royalty. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, both as creator and as Savior. So John, having introduced us to the marvel of the incarnation, to the eternity of God, the eternity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, the Logos, he now comes down and tells us that it is the Lord who was the creator. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. You should already be noticing that the tie-up between this and 1 John. Once again, we have light, one of John's favorite expressions, to illustrate the holiness and power of God. In him was life. And in Greek, this is what is called the locative of sphere in the Greek language. In other words, in the sphere of his existence was the source of all life. Now, we've been talking about evolution and creation. Evolution stumbles at this point. There were some very interesting experiments done to see if life could be created in a laboratory. And with a lot of engineering, in other words, with the minds of the scientists being exercised greatly, they did create some very basic molecules. But they didn't create anything that could resemble or even approximate to life. And at this point, evolution stumbles. The origin of life. Another point at which evolution stumbles is the origin of language, philosophically. Another area where evolution stumbles is the origin of self-consciousness. All these are very important areas where the philosophy, the theory of evolution, comes face to face with the revelation of God. And here we have a revelation from God that the source of life is Christ. That all things have their life from Him, because He is life. And that life was expressed. And that life, John says, was the light of men. That life was the light of men. Firstly, He is our light. He shows us God. Secondly, the life that we have is the life of self-consciousness. We are able to think of ourselves. We are able to think of God. And that very thing comes from God. The very fact that we are able to think about God, the very fact that we are able to be aware of ourselves, comes from God. God is the source of life and the source of awareness of life. We have light shone on our life. We see things. The very fact that we see and understand things comes from the source of life and light, the Lord Jesus Christ. So these verses are very profound in the depth that is here. And what they are saying. We were created this way. Our life, which comes from God, enables us to recognize the light. We are creatures made by a creator, and He has built in to each of His created beings a capacity. We can see that the world was a product of reason, that there is a mind behind it. We can see in history that there is a mind working out. Even unbelievers, sometimes privately, they don't normally say it publicly, but even unbelievers will say to you, I recognize there's got to be a mind behind all this. Even an unbeliever shows that the very source of their life is from God. It's just they don't want to accept it. They reject the light. But they see it. And as John's going to point out, God has revealed Himself. No one has an excuse, because we are made with a God-shaped gap in our lives. We are made to recognize God. We are made to see the world through the eyes that God has given us. So that even the atheist has no excuse. As Paul points out in Romans, they could see the creation. They could see all things, but they rejected them and chose darkness rather than light. John 3:17 and 18, the same points made. Light keeps on giving light, and the darkness, and this is a word, skotia, darkness, S-K-O-T-I-A. And the darkness here means the lack of light, absolute ignorance, darkness, and it has a connotation of evil. Now what John is saying here, in verse 5 particularly, is that God could have left us in the dark, but He didn't. And so, of course, we're getting another attribute of God coming out, the love of God. God has not left His creatures in the dark. They were made to recognize light, and he has given them light to recognize. God has revealed himself through history, and now in the person of Christ, which is of course what John is coming to, he has revealed himself in history. And the darkness has not overcome it. Now, the Greek word for overcoming it here, or comprehendeth it not, is how it is in the King James. The Greek word is kata lambano. K-A-T-A lambano. Kata lambano. And it means really to master it, to make it your own. It's the aorist active indicative. In other words, it means that at all points in time, God's word, God's light, has been attacked by the force of darkness. But the darkness has never mastered the light. The light has always kept on shining. It has never been put out. And this is John's way of introducing us to the angelic conflict. That Satan, though he has always attacked the light, has never, ever been able to darken the light. Every heresy that has ever attacked God's word has always tried to darken the light, or to hinder the light bearers. And remember, that's what we are. We are light bearers. We carry the light in this world. We are here to show the light. We are light bearers. And Satan's attack has always been against the light, to darken it or confuse it. That's heresy. And he has also always attacked the people who stand for the light, the believer. We've seen that in 1 John. But John starts off by saying the darkness has never mastered it, and it never will. So, you see, before we've even gone past verse 5, we have five proclamations. We have, before the world was, there was a mind. And that mind was God. Logos. There was a reason, there was purpose, and it was personal, it was in God. So first of all, before the world was, there was a mind. Secondly, that mind was and is God. And now he said, thirdly, that mind has expressed itself in creation. That mind, and he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Logos, is the source of all life. And then fifthly, that life is like light, and the darkness has never cast a shadow on it. So we have an introduction theologically for the incarnation of Christ, the coming of the one who was going to reveal the light of God. And in verses 6 through 13, we have John's next section, which is the preparation that God undertook for the coming of the light, for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, it's interesting that we've been talking in terms of deity. We've been talking about the Word, God, light, life. And then John suddenly says, there was a man. Now, why does he come in, there was a man? Because he's wanting to contrast Christ and John the Baptist. He's wanting you to see, with all the power of a 10-pound hammer brought down on your head, that John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ are worlds apart. That it is God become man, and it is man talking about God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God become man. John the Baptist is a great man, but he is only a man. And that there is a vast difference between the two. So immediately John is answering the heresy which said that Jesus Christ is just a man. A great one, but just a man. John is saying here, we have God introduced, verses 1 through 5, and now we have a man who was the one who prepared the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to look back at Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5, we have the prophecy of the coming of John. And then if you want to look as a devotional study, look at Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and we have the fulfillment of it. John's ministry was prophesied in the Old Testament, Isaiah 40, 1 through 5. Also, you know, Malachi and other places, but particularly John 40. And then in Luke 3, 1 through 6, we have John coming and Luke recognizing that this is a fulfillment of prophecy. There was a man. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, it's important because what John is answering here is this heresy which said that Jesus was a great creature sent from God to man, but he really is just like a superman. And that is the view of the heretic movements today. The Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, even the Seventh-day Adventists to an extent, all teach that the Lord Jesus Christ was one of the creations of God. He wasn't God. He was either a great man, a superman, or something in between. And so Johnism is answering these heresies, because that's what they are, and saying there is a difference here. John the Baptist was a man sent from God, but the Lord Jesus Christ was God with us, Emmanuel, God stepping into history. Now we, in a way, are like John the Baptist. And if you want to live for the Lord and serve him, hopefully this would be able to be said about you, that you were a man or a woman sent from God to do the work that the Lord had for you. This is your role. Now, God decided when John would come, and God decided what John would say, and John was obedient to it. And you must learn, like John learned, to live your role right and to fit in with God's plan for your life. He was commissioned, sent, and that's the perfect passive participle of apostello. We get our word apostle from it. A-P-O-S-T-E-L-L-O. He was sent. He was commissioned from the source of God. This para plus the genitive of theos, it means from the source of God. Now, it's important. Perfect tense, I love that. The perfect tense in Greek is a beautiful one. It always speaks volumes. Perfect tense in Greek, at one point in time, the action of the verb occurs, but the results of that verb go on forever. John was sent at one point in time, but the results of what happened when he was sent go on forever, both for him and for everyone else. And that's what the Christian's life really is to be, a perfect tense. At one point in time, we might be sent out to do something, but everything you do for the Lord is like that perfect tense. It is done once, but the results of what you do and say go on forever. In your life, in eternity, and in the lives that you touch in eternity. So realize that everything you do as a believer carries with it this concept of the Greek perfect tense. You may be doing something only once, but the results are eternal. Every word you say, everything you do, has lasting implications. So he was sent from God, as you are. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord will have a job for you to do, and you will be sent out to do it. You must do it as unto the Lord. The results of what you do will be with you forever, by way of eternal reward, and by way of being with those that you have had the pleasure and the privilege of leading into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God doesn't need you. God doesn't need any one of us, but he chooses to use us. That's the importance of what's behind this verse. God chooses in his wonderful grace to use us. I prefer to see it as God saying to us, I'm going somewhere. I'm doing something. Come along for the ride. Come with me. Watch me work, and I'll give you things to say. You say them. I'll do the work, but you do what I tell you to do, and you will share in the blessing. And John took up the call, and he saw the Lord work marvelously through him. Verse 7, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. I think when I read that first, I got the words back to front. That all men through him might believe. This man came at this point in time to be a witness. He came to give a testimony. And that's all we do. We come to give a testimony. You are, as the Lord said in Matthew, you are like a city on a hill. You're there to give light. You're there to give a testimony. A witness to the uniqueness of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist came to testify concerning the light, in order that people might believe on the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. John was there to open the door to saving faith, and that's what he did. He pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He prepared for the Lord so that the people would recognize the Lord when he came. And this, in a way, is our job still. I've said it before, I'll say it again, I'll repeat it until you're sick of hearing it. Remember the words of those people who came to the disciples. Sirs, we would see Jesus. And they took those people to the Lord. That's what people want to see in us. That is our job, to lead people to Christ that they might respond to him, to his gospel, that the Holy Spirit might work in them. Our job is not to get in the way. This is very important. Not to make an issue of anything else other than leading people to the Lord. Verse 8, John makes it very clear. He wasn't the light. John wasn't the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. John wasn't the Messiah, and it's tremendous because John had a great following. Even the unbelievers and Josephus and others record the impact that John the Baptist had. John the Baptist was a celebrity. He didn't go to town to talk to crowds. He went into the worst possible place, and the crowds came to him. And if anyone had an excuse to become very proud, John had it. But John kept his poise. He knew what he had been called to do, and he did it. He led people to the Lord, and then he bowed out We'll see that in John 3. He must increase, I must decrease. At one point, John doubted, and he sent one of his disciples and said, "Look, check it out. Are you really the one?" And John had been in jail for a long time, and he had reason to be a bit depressed. But he said, "Are you the one?" And Jesus answered and said, "Yes." And John went to his death a happy man. And the Lord paid testimony to John's greatness in heaven. Why? Because John did his job, and he didn't try to do the Lord's job. So many of us fail because we try to do more than the Lord has called us to do. Find out what the Lord wants you to do and do it. Don't try to do someone else's job. John was gracious and humble. He had no arrogance. He was tempted to become more than he should have been, and he beat the temptation. He must increase, I must decrease. He illustrates that principle that Peter spells out for us in 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in his good time, he'll lift you up. Don't push yourself. Don't throw yourself forward. Let God lift you up. Do your job as unto the Lord. Verse 9, the Lord Jesus Christ is light. He is the true light, the perfect, the genuine, the unique light. True, the word for truth in Greek is aletheia. A-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. And it means the perfect, the genuine, the unique one. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only true light, John is saying. He's the only way of salvation. There is no other one who gives knowledge of God. There is no other light. If you are true to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will reflect his light. And people will see Christ in you. But only Christ can enlighten. Only the agency of the Spirit in the soul can lighten that soul so that Christ might be seen. Remember the Spirit's job? The Lord tells us the Holy Spirit's job, John 14 and 16. He bears testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. He brings out the light of Christ in the life of the soul. Only God enlightens people. That's an important point of evangelism. The work of the Spirit is to remove the satanic darkness, to pull back the blindness on the soul of an unbeliever, so that the light of the gospel shines in. You preach Christ, and let his light convict and convince. This is true evangelism, and this was John the Baptist's approach. Walking with God, but depending on God's light to do the job. And this is true evangelism. Following the work of the Spirit. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's word. Seeing those the Holy Spirit is convicting. Zeroing in on them and giving them the facts they need. Walking with the Lord as you give the gospel on the street or in the home or at work. God is light, and he is shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Your job is to reflect the light, and God will do the saving. God will do the saving, and you will share in the glory of it if you get your job right and preach Christ and him alone. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Three statements here, very startling in their simplicity and power. He was in the world. The Creator became a creature. The second statement, the world was made by him. And then the third statement, the world knew him not. He was not recognized as he should have been. And the majority of people still don't want to recognize their Creator. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. In his humanity, he came in the line of David. He came as the Messiah to Israel. But the Israelites rejected their Messiah. He came to his own, but his own received him not. Isaiah 53, verses 3 and 4, he was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid our eyes. We hid as a woman, that's it. And so we have in verse 12, but, and it's a good word here. So often but is a bad word. You know, I believe but. I'm going to do it tomorrow, but. But here, but is beautiful. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Here the door is always open to salvation, to as many as. Note that, because this is the answer to Calvinism in its extreme form. This is the answer to those who say that Christ died only for the elect and that there's no such thing as free will. Here's a verse which immediately John introduces free will. Now you'll notice also that John's introduced election with John the Baptist. He was sent. Can't get any more definite than that. John was elected. He was sent. But here we have free will. Both of them in the same chapter. And you'll find that they're both in the same chapter all the way through. We'll discuss it more in detail later, but just notice it here. Whosoever wills may come, as many as believe him. What do people do? They have to receive him. And the word here is lambano. We've had kata lambano. Here's lambano. L-A-M-B-A-N-O. Aorist, active imperative. Aorist tense is the tense which means a point in time. At a point in time, at some time, they must receive him. Imperative mood says it's a command. You've got to do it. Active voice, you are free to do it. You must do it. Active voice, you've got to do the believing. You've got to do the receiving. Imperative, it's a command. And what does lambano mean? It means take the free gift. Beautiful Greek word. Take the free gift. But to as many as received him, to as many as take the free gift, you must take it. If you don't, you're not saved. You must take it. If you don't, you are lost, and it's your own fault. You have free will. You can accept or reject. The light has shone. If you run from the light, it's because you love darkness rather than light. Preview of coming attractions, John chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Don't blame God. Don't stand before the judgment seat of God and say, you didn't elect me. I didn't have a chance. Because God will say, John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as accept the free gift. I have given you a free gift. The Lord Jesus Christ has come. The light has shone in the darkness. If you reject Christ, it's because you love darkness rather than light. You are responsible. Take the free gift. How much faith is required to take it? Just a little bit more faith than no faith at all. What did Jesus say? Luke 17, 5 and 6, you can look it up. Faith as of a grain of mustard seed. How much faith is required? Just a little bit more faith than no faith at all. Believe in him. Now you'll notice in the King James Version here, even, the word even, is in italics. Have a look at your King James. It's in italics. This is one of the reasons that we love the King James. Because when the translators added a word that wasn't in the original, but they added it just to make it flow, make the sentence flow, they always put the word that wasn't there in italics. So this word does not appear in the original manuscripts. It's just been added there to make the sentence flow. And in the 16th century, even had a different meaning than it does now. And really, it's better to leave it out now. And he gave them power to become the sons of God to them that believe on his name. Not even to them that believe on his name, but to them. It's explaining it to them that believe in his name. And so this is one of the reasons I persist in using the King James, because it doesn't mislead you. Other translations give their translation and they don't tell you what they're adding and subtracting. You'll always tell in the King James Version what's been added to make sense. And remember, it was added to make sense in 1611. And because of language changes, sometimes what they added no longer makes sense. So in this case, it's better to pull it out and get the full power that John had there. Receive the free gift of salvation. Believe on his name. What do you have to do to be saved? Bow down and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on his name. Depend upon him. Accept him as the one he claimed to be. Believing that what he did on the cross, he did for you. And realizing that you are a sinner who needs a Savior, believe on his name. Cast yourself at his feet. Recognize in him your Savior. This is what being born again means. It means recognizing you need to make a new start and that you will make it with Christ. Of course, John's going to explain this in chapter 3 when Nicodemus comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the result of that, verse 13, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And that's tremendous. We are born again. We enter into a new family. And in verse 12, we have a key to what is involved in this new family with one word, the word power. To them gave he power. The Greek word here is exousia. E-X-O-U-S-I-A. And it means power, but it also means that it more, in this context, it means more authority, freedom, privilege, and rights. So you have power, you have authority, you have freedom, you have privileges, you have rights. You have become, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a member of the royal family of God, as Peter points out. And because you have become a member of this new family through faith, because you have become born again, you now have rights. You have the right of fellowship. You have the privilege of fellowship with God. You have the power of God in you. You have the authority of God in his word and through his word in you. You are now fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. Ephesians 2:19. You are of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. And all this because light came into the world and shone in the darkness. All this because men like John let the light shine through them. and you will start living up to the privilege that you have received. You will start illustrating and showing the power that is in you as you let the light shine through you. So our subject in John's Gospel is light, and letting it shine in every corner of our life, and letting the light of Christ be reflected through us to others, so that they see Him, not us. That like John the Baptist, we humbly walk before our God, showing Him in our daily walk, in our daily life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness has never mastered it, comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And we'll pick up there next time. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we give you praise that the light shined in the darkness. And Father, we pray that as we go through this day and as we go into this next week, we may let the light of your word, the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit, shine in our lives, that we might see the dark things in the nooks and crannies of our own soul, that we might be convicted, that we might deal with sin, that we might be purified, that we might become cleaner and cleaner vessels day by day to serve you more and more fully, that the Lord Jesus Christ may be seen in our lives, that he might be glorified, that we might be blessed in him, in whose precious name we ask these things. Amen.